Sequel, Daniel Bordeaux's Report. Daniel Bordeaux had accepted the third angel's message at the age of 22. Soon after his conversion, he had been given strong evidence of Ellen White's call and work, for on June 28, 1857, he had witnessed her in vision. He later declared, "Since witnessing this wonderful phenomenon, I have not once been inclined to doubt." In A.L. White, Ellen G. White, Messenger to the Remnant, p. 24. But when the testimony of Ellen White touched his life, he almost floundered. He reported his experience of victory in. His report opened with words that reflected his attitude. "This council is among the precious gatherings of the past. Of all the general meetings of our people I have attended in 29 years, I think of none that could be more properly pronounced a success, in every sense of that term, than this one. Christian love and union prevailed throughout. There was a wonderful blending of nationalities, all seeming to feel that the cause was one, that our aim was one, and that we must unitedly push on the work to certain victory." He then turned to the matter that came close to him in his personal struggle to relate to the spirit of prophecy councils. The labors of Sister White and her son, Elder W.C. White, were highly appreciated at this general gathering. How interesting and wonderful it was to hear Sister White correctly delineate the peculiarities of different fields she had seen only as the Lord had shown them to her, and show how they should be met, to hear her describe case after case of persons she had never seen with her natural vision, and either point out their errors or show important relations they sustained to the cause, and how they should connect with it to better serve its interests. "As I had a fair chance to test the matter, having been on the ground, and knowing that no one had informed Sister White of these things, while serving as an interpreter, I could not help exclaiming, 'It is enough. I want no further evidence of its genuineness.'" Then he gave some even more intimate reasons for his confidence, reasons tied in with his own personal experience. "Not only does this gift reprove sin without dissimulation and partiality, as did Nathan when he said to David, 'Thou art the man,' but it deals in words of encouragement to help those reproved to overcome, and to inspire hope, faith, and courage to the desponding. It not only probes the wound, but it also pours in the oil, binds the wound, and hastens the process of restoration. It brings the receiver to the Bible, and earnestly endeavors to carry out the instructions it enjoins, exemplifying in a marked degree the rare graces of modesty, true humility, and self-denial. It identifies itself with those for whom it labors, bearing their burdens in earnest, persevering prayer, forgetful of self and ease, and keeping the glory of God and the salvation of souls in view, aiming to secure these at any sacrifice. It brings with it the supernatural discernment that Peter evinced in the case of Ananias and Sapphira. It brings with it the miraculous, without which, religion were a formal, heartless, lifeless, human affair, and for want of which the masses of religionists of today are perishing. True to its name, it deals in prophetic utterances in harmony with the Bible, to help those who fear God to properly and speedily perform the gospel work, and to safely pass through the perils of the last days. The instrument presents no attractions from the standpoint of show and popularity, that, following the path of humility, the gift may help in the work of converting men to God and not to man, and that God may have all the praise.